Good morning. This is the Reverend Cliff Pooley speaking to you from the Churn Valley Benefice. This is the order for morning prayer on the second Sunday after Epiphany, January the 17th, 2021. When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we've done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. And now we say the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And do not claim to be wiser than you are. Here endeth the first lesson. Our psalm is Psalm 107, beginning at verse 13. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom, and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he shatters the doors of bronze, and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities they endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices, and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and a mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it of the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you've kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Jubilate Deo. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, may clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. The Collect for today. Almighty and everlasting God, who dost govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of thy people, and grant us peace all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings, Lord of lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth, most heartily we beseech thee with thy favour to behold our most gracious sovereign lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that she may alway incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts, grant her in health and wealth long to live, strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies, and finally, after this life, she may attain everlasting joy and felicity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the clergy and the people. Almighty and everlasting God, who alone workest great marvels, send down upon our bishops and curates and all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Grant this, O Lord, for the honour of our advocate and mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the prayer of Saint Chrysostom. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time, with one accord, to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfil now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world a knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all evermore. Amen. And now I'd like to share some thoughts with you about the readings that we've had today. Those readings from the letter to the Romans and from John's Gospel. The wedding at Cana. You know, in tradition, the kingdom of God is always seen as a great feast, and abundant wine is the symbol of God's grace at that feast. So the story of the wedding at Cana, at the feast at which Jesus changes water to wine, can be seen as a metaphor, I think, for the way in which it's through Jesus' ministry that God's abundant grace is made accessible to us. God's love for humanity has not been expressed in impersonal or general terms, but for each of us as dearly beloved individuals. Jesus himself engaged with people whom he met in everyday encounters, and the wedding at Cana was one of them. In that story, John paints a picture of a young man enjoying himself with his friends and with his mother, with whom he apparently had a very typical mother-son relationship. Did what he was told, after all. Jesus' ministry was frequently expressed in compassionate acts towards the individuals he encountered in his travels, and ultimately in the costly act of his death on the cross. But above all, Jesus demonstrated, I think, a relationship with God that we must all learn to emulate, a loving, trusting relationship full of transforming power. God seems to me to know from first hand that human life is a challenge. That, after all, is what the incarnation, God becoming human, was all about. God knows that our transformation into his adopted children is going to be difficult for many of us, and it's not going to be without painful effort. Even Jesus had to be transformed. Even Jesus had to grow into his role as Saviour. It was necessary for him to develop physically and emotionally from boy to man. And the Gospels never fail to show Jesus as fully human, not a divine soul in a human body, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, as we read in that letter to the Romans in chapter 8. And under the power of sin, along with inevitable suffering and death. And indeed, the Gospels even show him tempted by sin. But he overcomes it not by a superhuman effort, but by using the capacities that lie within all human beings. The Gospels show him abandoned, upset, disappointed by others, but they also show him having fun at weddings like this one in Cana, or at parties, joyful at the happiness of his friends, weeping at their distress. And we see him develop spiritually too as he studies scripture. He discusses the texts with experts. He learns from them. We see him maintaining his relationship with God the Father in prayer. And we learn what's meant by transforming power as he overcomes death and rises again to new life. That power that enabled Jesus to achieve his transformation came by the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is the same power that will enable us to be transformed. Well, we can already begin to enjoy the benefits of being part of God's family. In particular, as members of the church, God's abundant grace has been made available to us. The wine at Cana is symbolic of that. And we've got Jesus as our example. We're already, with God's grace, able to develop true humanity. An outgoing humanity that's generous, outward-reaching, rather than self-centered, and a love which is generous enough to accept as well as to give. That's an important point. We have to know when to accept the generosity and love of others if we really want to know how to give it ourselves. And that ability to accept love is vital, because unless we accept God's grace, we will fail to become the people He created us to be. And of course, as ever, St. Paul echoes Christ's message. He reminds us that a good test of what's right is whether it stems from sincere and selfless love. Paul reminds us that we must hate evil and cling to what is good. And like Christ, we have to honour others above ourselves, not for the rewards which they can give us, but because we know that they are people created in God's image. And because from obedience to God, Christian love naturally flows. Of course, in the meantime, we also need to grow spiritually, just as Jesus did. And as we do, we may be increasingly ill at ease with the values of this world. We may be perceived as different from the rest of society around us, just as the early Christians were. We might need the courage to bear the costs of these discomforts, but God's grace will help us through them. Our Christian forebears knew all these things, and if, like them, we've seen the light and cast off the darkness, if we drink the wine of the new covenant, then our lives can become filled with joy and with real hope for Jesus' kingly reign at the end of this era. I read a book years ago. It was called The Go-Between. It was written by the one-time Bishop of Winchester, John Taylor. And he proposed three marks by which the authentic word or action of the Holy Spirit could be recognised in any of us. He wrote that the Holy Spirit will cause people to be more aware of the other who claims their attention, or to have a greater awareness of the whole. The Holy Spirit will call on us to make personal and responsible choices. The Holy Spirit will call us to commit to self-oblation and sacrifice. The Spirit's role is in permanently actualizing the significance of the Incarnation. And so he writes, if we are responding to the Spirit rather than to our own values and prejudices, then our actions will reflect the greatest of all spiritual gifts, which is, of course, love. And to finish by prayer. Lord Jesus, by your first sign at Cana, you made plain your glory so that your disciples believed in you. Give us that same measure of faith and fill us with the riches of your Spirit so that we can know you. Change our worldliness into desire for purity and wholeness. And finally, give us a place at the heavenly feast in your kingdom, for the honour and glory of your name. Amen.